God is awesome in this place.
Our faith is built each time we hear the Word of God. We hope you'll enjoy this life-changing message from Countryside Christian Center. When you finish, feel free to share this tape with others. Our church address is 1850 McMullen Booth Road, Clearwater, Florida, 33759. You can reach us by calling 727-799-1618 or log on to www.countrysidechristiancenter.org.
Those flowers bring the anointing. Man. Well, you stirred up, fired up, going to run a few more miles in that good race. Got your Bibles? Lift them up. Let's see. He said, you really didn't need me here at all. I mean, glad he came. Praise God. We thank the Lord. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place, for encouragement, for the strength that you give us. We thank you, Lord, and we honor you. As we've, Lord, worshiped you, if we lifted our hearts up to you, we thank you for who you are. You're a holy God. And we lift you up again tonight as we lift up your word. Holy Spirit, thank you for your faithfulness. We pray, Lord, by your anointing now, that this word would be real in our hearts, in our lives. In the name of Jesus, Lord, as you do this work in us. Now anoint me as your servant and anoint our ears to receive the word that you have for us tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I don't come to the pulpit lightly. Please, nobody leave. God honors his word above his own name. We thank God for worship. Angels worship unceasingly around the throne, but it's God's word that's the foundation of that throne. I don't come to this pulpit lightly. I pray and seek God, and the Lord put a word on my heart to share tonight. I said, Father, as I was here, just such freedom and liberty and praise and joy in this place. And I said, Lord, it must be another word. I must have missed you. He said, no. You share what I gave you. I want to read to you from Revelation chapter 2. He's writing a letter there to the church in Ephesus. You know, Ephesus was a real fountainhead church. I mean, it was a revival church. And in Asia Minor, there were churches that came out of there that were planted. I mean, it was happening. And then he wrote to the church there. And he said, I know your works, and I know your labor, and I know your patience. I know how you can't bear those which are evil. I know how you've tested them that say they're apostles and they're not, and you found out that they're lying. So, I mean, this church had some stuff going for it. Man, they were a church involved in works and ministry and labor, and they had great patience, and man, they rooted out sin and people that weren't walking with God there, and they figured out who was of the truth and who wasn't. And he says, and you've borne and has patience for my name's sake. You know, you've labored and you haven't fainted. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you've left your first love. He says, remember therefore from where you've fallen and repent and do the first works. Tonight I want to talk about keeping our first love. I've been doing this long enough. Been in full-time ministry since 1970. But I know what happens. We can come in, man, come in Sunday night like this, I mean, you can't miss it, man. The Spirit of God's every place. You know what I mean? You lift it up and encourage and fire it up. And then comes Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. And something else begins to happen in our lives when we get out of here. You know, God loves shouting saints, but, you know, He wants to see how we're going to walk the walk on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. It's easy to have the victory in this atmosphere, man. And I want to read to you in Mark again in chapter 12. And there was one that asked the Lord a question. And He answered that question. And then one of the scribes came and, having heard and reasoned together and perceived that he'd answered them well, Jesus had answered them well. And then he said, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him and said, well, first of all, the commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And this is the first commandment. And the second is like it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandments greater than these. I want to share, this is really simple tonight. It's not going to take a long time, but God's life is here. We're talking about keeping our first love. You lose your first love, or you've lost your first love, number one, talking about our heart, when your delight and love for the Lord is no longer as great as your heart for someone else, or for other things, for something else. Want to hear that again? Talking about your heart. You're to love the Lord with all your heart. He said, you've lost your first love when your delight and love for the Lord is no longer as great as your heart, as your love for someone else, or for something else, or for other things. When other things have crowded in and that's where your heart is. You remember when you first met Jesus? Man, oh, man. There's such an excitement. Everything was just, we were just so turned on. It's where our thoughts were, and we were so dedicated, man. We never missed church. We were in prayer meetings, and God spoke to us, and but we were sensitive, and man, we were just so aware of His presence all the time. It just wasn't a church thing. And there was a passion in our hearts, and you know, we shared Him with everybody. You know, when you're in love, that's what you do, you know. When you're in love, you need to talk about it. You know, when you're in love with somebody, you're talking to everybody about it. I mean, they get sick of hearing about it. You know, they're just talking about it. I love it. Oh, you and I met this girl. Oh, man, she didn't blow you. No, I want to tell you about her. I've heard about her. I know about her. I know everything about her, you know. That's what you do when you're loving. You know, when our heart is stronger for people and for other things and things are crowded in, you know, you've lost your first love for Jesus. So I want to ask you to take some inventory tonight. It can happen so subtly, we're not even aware it's happening. It doesn't happen fast. I remember years ago that there was a man who was married. He was part of my ministry in Fort Wayne, Indiana, before I moved here. And there mostly were young people involved in that ministry. Average age is about 24, but he's a little older and married and had kids. And he came up to me and he told me about a dream that he'd had. And he had a dream, and in this dream, Jesus was there, and he was real close to him, and it was like he was part of a flock, that there were like sheep all around, and he was standing there close to the Lord, and he was right up next to him, and he remembered he was so full, and he was so filled with love, and just, you know, such an awareness of God, and such a joy and fullness and excitement in his life. And he looked down the ground, the grass was just like long and rich and full and bright green. And in this dream, slowly, without even being aware of it, this very slowly, he just found himself getting further and further away from the Lord until he found himself all the way out on the edge of the flock. He was still in the flock. But he noticed the Lord is like way over there. And that the love and his presence and the joy and the peace that was in his heart and just that, you know, overwhelming sense of God's presence and being was, you know, had disappeared. And he noticed when he looked down the ground that the ground was like all dust and dirt and just little teeny clumps of grass, but, you know, like hardly any life in them at all. And then in this dream, this is true. In this dream, slowly in his dream, he just made it back in time until he was right back next to the Lord again. And he told me about that dream. And it happened. You know, it happened to him. And then he told me about it after he got back with God. It didn't just happen suddenly. It was just little by little by little by little by little, slowly. Let me give you the second thing, talking about your soul. For you love the Lord with all your heart, you love the Lord with all your soul. When my soul does not long for times of rich fellowship in His Word and prayer and for God's house, I've lost my first love. You know, it's easy to come in here, whoa, you know, shout and dance and praise God. But you know, it's the hidden man. Don't deceive yourself. When my soul does not long for times of rich fellowship in the Word and in prayer and for God's house. I've seen it happen. People that were, they were in prayer meeting all the time. And they were in church line, front row. Yeah. And they were just so turned on. They were in ministry. They were sharing. You know, the first thing, it's always like this. Well, you know, there's just so much going on in our lives and, you know, we just feel like we need to just back off for a little bit. Pastor, you're just going to lay back, you know, right now from the eldership, or we're just going to kind of lay back a little bit and quit ushering or singing in the choir. We just kind of give that class to somebody else for a while. I know what's coming next. It's not that they're too busy. It's a heart problem. Pretty soon, you know, you just watch them. You're just getting more and more on the fringe. They're just backing off, and they don't have any kind of commitment at all, you know, and the heart thing's gone. They're just, pretty soon, where'd they go? Where are they going to church? They're not going anywhere. So, you know, what's the hidden life like with God? It's the root, you know. It's not what's above ground and growing. It's, you know, it's the hidden life. It's that seed that was planted and grew deep and brought forth fruit. It's the hidden life. It's your devotional time with God. It's your prayer time. It's the time in the Word. It's your heart to be in God's house. You know, nobody's having to drag you here. You want to be here. So he said to love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You've lost your first love when your thoughts and leisure time do not reflect on the Lord. not thinking about him. Everything else crowds in. Get up in the morning, don't even think about the Lord. Get in the car, turn on the radio. I mean, most Christians don't even listen to Christian radio on the way to work. They listen to sleaze and garbage and junk and not even thinking about God. And then you get it in the morning. Say, Lord, I praise you. I thank you for this day. God, thank you for your presence. Their thoughts aren't on him during the day. They're thinking about everything else. All the stuff and worries and problems and work and this and that and food and, you know all this stuff. Did I turn the lights off and, you know, hey, we're, you know, yada, 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 yada. Yeah. Time goes by, you know, I mean, the whole day goes by. They haven't even really thought about the Lord at all. Don't be deceived. You've lost your first love. Because when you're in love, you don't go through a whole day without thinking that person that you love. It's all the time. You're thinking, I wonder what they're doing now. Man, I'm going to phone break. I'm going to give her a call. And see what you're doing. Hi, what you doing? What'd you want? Nothing. Just wanted to talk. Just wanted to share. The night I met Deborah, we talked to each other on the phone. I got her phone number. I was really sneaky about it, by the way. And I called her on the phone. We talked until 2:30 in the morning. Just yak, yak. What about? I don't know. Just, you know, just talked to each other, saw each other. Just, you know, always just. He wanted to be with them, you know. Just thinking about all the time. Oh, man. I get off work in 2 hours. Man, I'm going to go home and take a shower, and we're going to eat dinner together. Know what I'm talking about? Sure you do. If you've been married for 30 years, you still better know what I'm talking about. Because you're not in trouble. Even if you don't, say, yeah, I know what you're talking about. What about Jesus? Love him with all your mind. It's in our thoughts. We're thinking about things that are pure and good and upright. And to love the Lord with all your strength. You've lost your first love when serving the Lord and keeping commitments is no longer the first priority in your life. I'm just so tired. Yeah. You weren't too tired to play golf. You weren't too tired to go fishing. You weren't too tired to, you know, go bowling. You weren't too tired to watch the football game. You weren't too tired, you know, to stay up and watch the movie till 2:30 in the morning. You weren't too tired to, you know, be with your girlfriend, you know. You weren't too tired for any of that stuff. Just so tired. You're not tired. It's a heart problem. Talking about their strength comes when you're in love with God. Their strength comes. If he's not the first priority anymore, you're not keeping your commitments, you've lost your first love or you're losing it. And talking about strength, you know, when I claim to be only human and given to things that displease God, I'm just human. No, you've lost your first love. Because when you're in love with somebody, you want to please them. Things change in our lives when we're in love. Man, you look different. I haven't seen you, I don't think, for 6 years. Something's happened in your life. But what's going on? And you're the guy, you know, you're always so slick, man. You had to work. You know, sharp suits and leathers and suedes and, man, you had that, you know, cool car. What was that you drove? Oh, yeah, man, what a machine. What's going on? And, well, you're driving a Datsun station wagon. Hey, man, I fell in love. I got married. I got 3 kids. I love my wife. You know, that stuff's just not important to me anymore. It just doesn't mean anything anymore. You know, I'm just so in love with my wife. And my whole life has changed since I fell in love. Hello. How about when you meet Jesus and fall in love with Jesus and the things change in our lives because, you know, we want to serve Him. And we don't give excuses all the time. You know why we slip and why we got involved in sin and did this and did that. And he said, in the second, it's like that you should love your neighbor as yourself. So we've lost our first love when we cease to treat others as we would Jesus. And the Lord says, you know, how can you say you love me and you can't even see me, and yet, you know, you don't love your brother that you can see? And if you can't love your brother, you know, you're not loving me. And when I cease to have a burden for people to pray, and when I cease to have a burden to share, I used to want to tell everybody. Just a witness, give our testimonies to people and share. They could see it on your face. Just like that guy got married, you know, except it was about marrying Jesus. You know, they'd say, man, I haven't seen you for, I don't think, 3 years. You look different. What happened to you? And we'd say, I want to tell you what happened. Man, I went to this church. I never thought I'd be in a church like that in my life. I went in there. I want to tell you what happened. I gave my heart to Christ. Everything in my life has changed. You're kidding me. You were worse than any of us. Well, I want to tell you, that's not me anymore. Man, I gave up that stuff. I'm not going to the bars anymore. I'm not doing that stuff, man. I gave up drugs and not smoking weed anymore, man. I'm walking the straight and narrow. I'm working with Jesus. You know. And when we lose our burden to tell people about it and to care for people, you know, we've lost our first love. Here's what it said there in the book of Revelation. So what do you do about it? You cooled off. You know it. I mean, and the Spirit of God was in here, such joy. And the Lord said, that's what, you've got the right message. I know enough about God, and I also know enough about people. There's people in this room. And at one time, you had that passion, and you had the zeal and fire. And man, you were thinking about going into ministry full-time or being a missionary. And it was not a burden at all to pray or to serve or to sing in the choir or to do whatever you could do and volunteer. And, man, I'll do it. And you know, it was a joy. You know. Well, you know, I'm just going through a thing. I know that's what I'm talking about. So what does it say here in the book of Revelation? He says, you know, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you've lost your first love. And then he said, remember, therefore, from where you're fallen. Here's the first thing. You be honest. Be honest. You just remember where you were and how far you've fallen from look back. And don't rationalize it. Well, it's because of this, because of that, because of this, because of the job, because of this, because of the circumstance, because of this. No. You had the same stuff going on then. Don't make excuses. It's because of this, because of that, because of this. You know, this is gone now, this wasn't, this happening. You know, this. Don't make excuses. Don't blame others. Well, that's because, you know, I meet with them now and we do this, you know. God says, you remember where you were and how you've fallen. That stuff's always going to be happening in your life. There's always going to be things going on. Seek ye first the the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Be honest. Remember where you've fallen. Here's the second thing that he said here in the book of Revelation. He said, you remember from whence you've fallen and repent. And do the first things. Repent. What's that mean? Turn around. Ask God to forgive you. Repent means you're going to do it differently. You're turning around. You can do it God's way. Let loose of whatever you're holding on to. Sin in your life. Habits. Patterns. Things you picked up. Say, well, I'm working at the flea market on Sundays. Well, yeah, quit hanging out with fleas. You start getting with some sheep. Yeah, flea mentality. I scare myself sometimes. I want you to know that. I don't know where this stuff comes from. You know, God's got something better for you than working at the flea market on Sundays making pocket change. You know, put God first and what you own the whole flea market. You know, do something to put God first and watch what God will do for you. And repent. Get back to where you were. Get rid of the sin in your life, the friendships that are pulling you, the people you're hanging with, the relationship you're in, whatever it is. Repent. God, I'm sorry. Be honest. Take a look where you've fallen and see what's going on and what's pulling you away. Do something about it. And then he said, and return. You know, get back to where you were. Get back to what you were doing. Do the works you were doing before. What were you doing when you were walking with Jesus? What were you doing when you had joy? What were you doing when you had peace? What were you doing when you had your life, you know, just all filled up and you were fired up and you were excited? What were you doing then? Then do that same thing. Get back to where you were. It's really obvious. Get back in prayer meeting again. Make a commitment. Start singing in the choir again. Start teaching a class again. Whatever you were doing, start doing it again. Get back in the Word. Start praying in the morning again. Get rid of those people and start hanging out with these people. And you say, oh, I can't find any. You can't find anybody in here to fellowship with? This is just part of the fellowship. Get back. Start doing what you were doing. Return. Do the works that you were doing before. I want you to know, number four, that loving God is a choice. It's not a feeling. Well, I've lost that love and feeling. Oh, I lost that love and feeling. Well, find it. Get it back. Love is a choice with God. Love is not a feeling. You know, it's not about a feeling. If you choose to love God, we choose to love God. There's a difference between agape love and phileo love. Agape love is a love of devotion, a commitment. If you love me, you do the things I ask you to do. I commit. He says, I know you love me when you obey my commandments. Not because it's a feel-good, mushy kind of love. You know, that's man's love. The phileo love is the kind of soulish love. It's a love of emotion, not devotion. Boy, you feel so good, man. You feel so good. Yeah, I know what happens. Those good feelings, they disappear later on. What happened to that? Lost that love and feeling stuff. You know, but that's not the kind of love that God's talking about. The kind of love that he's talking about is to make a commitment and to follow him. If you love me, you're going to follow me and you're going to commit my life, whether you feel like it or not. And you don't just stay married when you feel like it, when everything's gone good. You've made a commitment for the rest of your life. You know, you don't bail out on Saturday when you had an argument. You continue to love that person. You've made a commitment. Praise God. You're going through every situation for the rest of your life with the same with God, except even greater. Trials are going to come, but we're going to love God and be faithful anyway. People are going to disappoint us, but we're going to love God anyway and follow after the Lord. Others are going to turn away. We're not turning. We're going to love God and follow him anyway. Whatever happened, it's a choice. It's not a feeling. It's a commitment. When you make the choice to follow God, say, you know, I don't feel like it, but I'm going. Usually it's when you don't feel like going to church. That's when you need to be there the worst, when God's got something for you and the devil's trying to keep you away. When you make the choice, the feeling's going to follow. So, man, I just lost that. I just don't feel like anymore. You make the commitment. You start reading the word anyway, even though you don't feel like it. You just get into it. You just start praying, even though you don't feel like it. You just begin to get into fellowship. You sing, even though you don't feel like it. I'll tell you what's going to happen. Pretty soon, that feeling is going to catch up with the choice that you make. Man, it's going to begin to happen. And I remember one time when I was laying on my couch. I was so depressed. This was years ago. And there was a woods in back of the house. I was laying on the couch. I was bummed out.
I lay in there, watching, as the world turns and scuzz, on TV, eating bonbons, whatever, and God says, "What are you doing, man? Oh, I'm just so bummed out, man. Oh, I'm just so down." He said, "Well, get up, quit being bummed out, get up." "Oh, man, I don't feel like it." "I don't care what you feel like. Get up. And he says, "Go out there and start praising me. Praise God." Say, "Oh, all right, get up, walk outside." "Praise God. Love you, Lord. Hallelujah." And you know what happens, don't you? The Spirit of God comes on you. And the Word of God comes up in your heart. And the Lord starts speaking to you. And the Word, the Spirit's bringing the Word. And pretty soon you're saying, "God, I'm sorry. Lord, you're the answer to me. You're the one that's going to give me strength. I pray you fill me with your Spirit again. And forgive me, Lord, for my attitude. And Lord, I do praise you. I thank you. God, I know when I'm on the mountain or in the valley, you never change. And you're faithful. And Lord, I praise you. And I thank you. And I bless you, oh God. You're worthy of my life and worthy of my praise." And all of a sudden, you get your eyes off the circumstance and all the stuff and feeling sorry for yourself and all the people and start praising God. And man, it's amazing. When I came back inside, everything looked different. Encourage yourself in the Lord. It's choice. And abide in Him. You can't do anything without Him. You put your heart on Him, begin to seek Him. You force yourself. You know what happens when people are sick? They don't want to eat. People are really sick, They begin to lose weight. And you don't look very good. And they get sick. They just don't have any appetite. So what do? When somebody's really sick, you force feed them. Well, you're going to eat anyway. Well, what happens, spiritually when you're starting to get sick and you're losing your first love? It's the same thing. You've got to eat whether you feel like it or not. You got to start eating. Start eating the Word. Get in the Word. The Word brings faith. All of a sudden, these things begin to happen in your life. And you start getting in the Word and you start eating the Word and you start praying and getting faithful and you start abiding in God. Man, you get your strength back. Things start happening. God starts speaking to you. You get encouraged. I'm telling you, the Lord is speaking to somebody tonight or several. You need to get back into that place where you were. And then God will restore the love and the joy and the peace in your heart. The love of God is shed and brought in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that God has given to you. It's a dangerous thing when you lose your daily awareness or your need of God. You're heading for real trouble. God didn't turn from you. He never left you. He didn't desert you. You're the one that turned. You're the one that slipped away from God. God never changes. I don't care, where you've been or what you've done or what's happened in your heart or how far you slipped or how far you got to the edge of the flock or outside of the flock. God's never changed. When Peter thought he'd failed so poorly, and Jesus resurrected from the dead, the first thing he says, "You tell my disciples and Peter that I'm risen." God put this on my heart again. I just want to read it straight. As he's saying that he's praying that we'd be strengthened by the might of his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith and you being rooted and grounded in love. It's not talking about salvation. It's talking about that he would dwell in our hearts by faith and that we'd be strong in our faith, rooted and grounded in love.
may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. It's God's love that's going to break into your heart and it's going to carry you through. And when you become aware of God's love for you again, and the response is to love Him back, to see how much He loves you and what great things He has. It's not an accident. The next verse says, "Now unto Him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us," the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God's love. See, because faith works by love. And when we begin to comprehend the love of God that's incomprehensible, that can't be measured, then we realize, see God for what He is, that God's able to do. God's able to do exceeding. God's able to do exceeding abundantly. God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or even think. As we put our trust in God and know, man, this is a dead-end street. God's the answer to everything that's going on in my life. He's got the answer for me. He's got the plan to not follow Him, to not serve Him, to not be obedient, to not seek after God. It's just flat-out foolish. He's got the answer. I don't even care if it's hard. Where am I going to go? That's what the disciples said. When Jesus came with some hard teaching about eating His flesh and drinking His blood and everybody left, He says, "Well, you're going to go too." They said, "Where are we going to go? You got the answer." He's got the answer for your life. We can't afford to get careless. We can't afford to drift off. Man, we got to get close to God, especially in the days we live in. I want everything God has for my life. How about you? I want to walk in fullness. I want to walk in victory. I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want to be complacent. I don't want to be lackluster. Man, I want to be filled up. I want to love Jesus back. I want that love to be demonstrated to me, in me, through me. It's a choice. It's a choice. Musicians, John, come on up here. You folks are ready to go, right? I want to stand in an attitude of prayer for while the musicians are coming. Father, I pray that this word's going to go deep in hearts and lives of people in this room tonight. I pray, Lord, people are going to be honest. And they're going to remember how far they've fallen and where they were and what's happened in their life, and that they're going to quit rationalizing it, blaming other people, making excuses. We're going to repent. We're going to get back to You. And we're going to start doing the things we did before, Lord. It's the only time we were happy and joyous and full. Pastor John, I want you to sing that song. And as he's singing that song, listen to me. Let's all stand to our feet for a moment. Just all over this room. I just want us to stand now. And you don't have to leave. You know, what's more important? Yeah, you got to get your kids in bed. I understand that. But, you know, I'm going to ask people, you know, it doesn't matter. It's between you and God. It's not between anybody else. It's nobody's business. Doesn't matter whether it's big. Doesn't matter if it's small. You know, don't worry about it. The Lord spoke to you tonight, and you know, you know that you've just slid. You just kind of lost that edge, that love, maybe a lot. You just kind of drift away. You know you don't have that first love you had. You know things have crowded in. You know things have come between you and God. Other people, circumstances, situations become first. He's just not what He used to be. And John's going to sing this song, and I want every person that God's talking to right now, I want you to come up to this altar. And you're saying, "Lord, here I am. I want it back. I'm going to get back to that place where I was, Lord. As You fill me with Your Spirit, as I make a commitment to You to love You, whether I feel like it or not." And John's going to sing, and I just want you to come from wherever you are right now. And it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. It's between you and God. Come on. But you watch what God's going to do. He's going to restore. He's going to begin to do something in your life. Come on.
With all my mind.